God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of coming together, worshiping you through word, through song, through prayer, through this giving of your tithes and our offerings. God, we just pray that as we continue to worship you, as we continue to celebrate you, that you would reveal yourself through your word this morning, that you would use your servant, that you would speak to me and through me, that God, that we would all come together to learn together as a family. We pray all this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago when I was up here, we talked about some spiritual disciplines. And today we're going to go through that again. I know I've used that term, but I just want you to be aware that that's not a term that's actually found in the Bible anywhere. It's not something that I made up, but it's not something that you find in Scripture. You can't go and use a concordance or a word search and look for spiritual disciplines and expect to find something in there, because you won't. However, our Holy Scriptures are filled with spiritual disciplines. You see, prayer is a spiritual discipline. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. We are to pray for those who persecute us. And there's so many more instructions on prayer. Prayer is a spiritual discipline, although you never see the Bible call it that. Tithing is another spiritual discipline. And it's one that we will be examining more closely this morning. It is a sensitive subject. I get that. Anytime we speak about money, it's tough. Well, let me first assure you that I'm not here to embarrass anyone or to point a finger or to make anyone feel bad. When we talk about spiritual disciplines, it is something that, as pastors, as preachers, that we speak to ourselves as much as anyone else. So, due to the sensitive nature of tithing, many times in the church, the universal church, not just Main Street, the universal church generally, pastors specifically, we avoid discussing it or preaching about it. Don't like to hear about it. You don't want to talk about it because it is sensitive. It is something that, you know, is uncomfortable. Is this ringing, bothering anyone to the room?
No.
Oh, okay. I'd like us to walk through the biblical principles regarding tithing. And the main theme I would like to convey to you this morning is this. It's not about the tithe. It's all about the reason why. Tithing did not originate with the Old Testament laws and statutes. Some people think that it did, but it didn't originate there. It's not something that came into being under the law of Moses. Although in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, we read that Abram, who would later become known as Abraham, and he lived 400 years before the Mosaic laws, well, Genesis records the events of Jacob's times as well, and he lived hundreds of years before Moses. But nevertheless, the time of Moses was when the principles of giving a tithe, or giving a tenth, were written into Jewish law. And the main reference for this is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 14 through 18. Fortunately for you, I will not be going through all four chapters this morning. But if you're interested in learning about tithing, kind of the Jewish law, and where that originated, why that came into being, that's where you will find that information. And it covers not only what we are to give, but also where and in what spirit the giving was intended. but we will start our journey today at about 430 BC. More than 1,000 years after the Old Testament laws were established by Moses. We're going to be looking at the book of Malachi. It's a short book, and it's the most often that's quoted and referenced when talking about tithing. And we're going to move around a little bit, but Malachi chapter 3 is where we're going to spend the majority of our time. Malachi means my messenger. It's a term that was used to describe both Old Testament priests and prophets. Verses 6 to 8 say this in Malachi. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet he robbed me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. So God's talking to have this conversation, and he's talking to Malachi. He's talking to the people of Israel. And this is a conversation that goes back and forth. Now, the first point that I want us to take a note of is this. This passage is not talking specifically about tithes, but tithes and offerings. So it's talking about giving to God in general. Now, to understand this passage, we have to look at the context and dig deeper into the background of tithes and offerings and find out what God is really angry about. That leads us to our first point this morning. And that is that tithing is about ministry. We're going to go back a little bit to Malachi chapter 2. It says this, my covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth. You turn from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated for all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. You see, the situation was dire. The priests had become corrupt, and as a result, the people had lost their guides and drifted into corruption themselves. The people had lost confidence in the priests. And in this passage, God himself gives a very definition of the role and function of the priest. Here's the first one. True instruction with nothing false to be found on our lips. They are to be truth tellers. Two, they've turned many people from their lives of sin. Priests are supposed to be guides, shepherds, to steer those away from sin towards the holiness of God. Thirdly, they are to preserve knowledge, and people should seek instruction from their mouths. They should be knowledgeable and display wisdom. And lastly, messengers of the Lord Almighty. They need to be able to hear from God so that they can then disseminate his message. So we see these four behaviors, characteristics of priests, as outlined by Malachi 2, chapter 5, verse 5. And in our modern church, the role of ministers of the church, such as it was then, has changed in only one way. The book of Hebrews, chapter 7 and 8, tell us that the ministers are no longer the only way that you can interface with God. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can now relate directly with the God Almighty, and He with us. We will no longer need a priest to intervene or intercede for us. We've cut out the middleman. God is a personal God. We can know Him personally. We can talk with Him. We can walk with Him. Sometimes we can feel His presence, but even when we can't feel it, the Bible says that He walks beside us. Psalm 37, verse 24 says that His hand is on our shoulder. Now, the principle here is very simple. Without money, ministry suffers. If you're at home and you're going through your budget and you need to take a look at how much you need to pay for rent, your mortgage, for utilities, for cable, for your cell phone, you're only paying with what you got. God does not need your money, but He does need your obedience. There's a story told of a man who had a horrible dream. He said, "I had a dream that the Lord took my Sunday offering and He multiplied it by 10. And this became my weekly income. Well, in no time, I lost my color TV, had to give up my new car, and couldn't make my house payment. After all, what can a fellow do on $10 a week? If the Lord took your offering and He multiplied it by 10 and made that your weekly income, how much would you make?" The story, again, is not meant to make you feel bad or to embarrass, but it's to highlight the position that God has put us in. As ministers of the gospel, as priests, as those that are supposed to be following His commands and His teachings, how do we support the ministry of the church? What does that look like? Well, as we summarize Malachi chapter 3, and that's that portion, the priests have become corrupt. And as a result, they were despised by the people, and the people, without a proper guide, or without a proper ministry, they lost their way. In their corruption, they stopped giving tithes and offerings to God. But more importantly, in doing this, the people had stopped giving God the honor that He was due. Second point this morning, which is tithing is about honoring God. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me. Keeping God's decrees returning honor back to the Lord. They turned away from his decrees. And right in the middle of the Lord's message to his people regarding tithing, God presents a promise. It is a promise of reconciliation that reinforces the sentiment that it's not about the money. It's not about the time. It's about the reason why. I'd like to share with you a parable on tithing that I found. It's not a parable that's found in Scripture, but it's interesting nonetheless. It says this. Now it came to pass that a certain rich man invited a churchman to lunch. And they went to a popular restaurant. The waiter was very efficient, and the service was good. As they rose to depart, the churchman observed that his host laid some coins under the edge of his plate, and the waiter, who stood by, smiled happily, which, being interpreted, meant that the tip was satisfactory. Now, with such customs, all are familiar, and this parable entereth not into the merits or demerits of tipping. But the churchman began to meditate on the coins. Well, he knew that the proverbial tip must be at least a tithe. Remember, this was written some time ago. Lest the waiter turn against you. And it came to him that a few people so honor their God as they honor their waiter. For they gave unto their waiter the tithe, but they gave unto God whatsoever they think they can spare. It's a sobering thought that we are more readily amenable to demonstrate honor to our server than to our God. That feeling of you're at the restaurant, you're sitting there, and the bill comes, and you're like, oh, I better give a good tip, because I don't want the server to feel bad. I need to make sure that they're covered, because I know they're not making a great amount of money, so I need to make sure that I tip well. Many times, 10% doesn't even come into our equation. You need to, 15%, 20%. I've been looking online, and I look at the Canadian tipping, suggested tipping. And it starts at 15%, many say 20%. And yet, this is what our thought goes to, but when we think about God, when we think about giving to Him, when we think about what we should give, we look at what we have spare in the bottom of our purses, in the bottom of our wallets, and think, God doesn't need my money, so whatever I give is okay. He can multiply it. And that is absolutely true. God calls us to obedience. Now, we talked about honoring God. So what does that mean? What does it mean to honor God through tithing? When we talk about honoring someone, it's a marker of respect. It's a method to pay tribute to someone. And the whole book of Malachi is all about getting right with God. It's about getting back to giving Him the honor that is due Him. Deuteronomy 26 tells us that we honor God when we give Him our first fruits. The sample of our best, not our worst. Or our last remnant. Paying a tribute is much about how we give and what we give. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You read that this morning. But the next verse is this. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly, or under compulsion, for God For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the following 15 verses later, verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This second principle from Malachi is yet another simple one. It's not about the money. It's about the heart. It's about a reconciled relationship that restores honor to God. And how would a generous and faithful God respond to heartfelt honor and worship from His dearly loved children? Well, our third point answers that. That's this. Tithing is about releasing God's bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Well now, that begs another question. Is it the tithe that draws the blessing? What is it exactly that God is blessing? This passage clearly and directly associates blessings with tithing. But is it correct to say that it is the tithe that draws the blessing? If we give, is that why we get blessed by God? Deuteronomy 5:29 helps to clear this question up for us. It says this. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always so that it might go well with them and their children forever. And just as a reminder, this particular verse was taken right after Moses came down off of Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, and he's seen all of God's children doing some crazy wickedness, and God responds. He talks about worship and how to bring honor and blessing back to the children of Israel. Clearly, there are blessings for things other than tithing. The clear point of this verse is that there is more about the condition of the heart. The act of obedience that demonstrates a heart that yearns to please God. You see, tithing is a product of honoring God, not the other way around. I want you to hear me this morning, because we're talking about money, and it's a very important subject. When we talk about giving our tithes, when we talk about giving God His tithes, the act itself does not bring honor to God. But through a contrite heart, through a heart that desires to honor God, tithing comes through that. It is an expression of honoring God. Some of you may know the name Henry Crowell. If not, you're probably familiar with the company he founded, Quaker Oats. He was also a significant contributor to the work of the Moody Bible Institute. Well, he knew how to use money wisely. And as a young man, he received Christ as his Savior. And when he began his business career in a little Ohio factory, he promised God that he would honor him in his giving. God's blessing was upon him. And as his business grew, he increased his giving. after more than 40 years of giving 60% of his income to God and to the church. Kroll testified, "I have never gotten ahead of God. He's always been ahead of me in giving." God's giving far outreaches ours. And I've shared this story with you. I shared it a couple of weeks ago, but I'll share it again. I am not a rich man. I know you look at me in these clothes and I'm all dapper and think, "Oh man, that guy's got money. Pastors, whoo, they make some good money." But the truth is, we have our mortgage, we have a couple of cars. I have tuition. All the students in the congregation roam. Tuition. That's a lot of money. All the parents of students in the congregation. But God honors us. I do not know how. I looked at the math. I worked in finance for a number of years, and the math by itself just should not work out. But we tithe. We give our 10%. We give offering above and beyond that to certain situations and events and organizations and ministries. God honors that. As you see me, that I don't miss any meals. So, you know, we made enough money that I can still eat. God's giving far outreaches ours. And here's another thing. One of the most interesting things about Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 is this. God offers a challenge. He challenges his people to test him. Nowhere else in Scripture are we invited to test God. In fact, several times we're told not to test God. We are told to test the spirits. We are told to test one another. But only in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 are we challenged to put God to the test. To test his ability to out-bless us. God is trying to get our attention. He has good things in store for you and for me. If only we would realize it. See, this is not an invitation to spread your money out. Spending some in investments or in put some in the offering plate or put some buy the lottery. Like, what is it, 26 million or, I don't know, 42 million? I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, we're not called to spread it out and hope that one of them is going to return a blessing. There is a spiritual principle here. And it is this. Your will can lead your heart. We can say that I have decided that I will seek God and keep seeking Him until I find Him. And if we continue to do that day after day, we continue to do that week after week, our will leads our heart. Tithing is not about an obligation, but an expression of love. And now we're going to get really specific here. We're going to talk about the church. You see, the church is the primary vehicle for accomplishing the work of the kingdom. job, but most of them come out of the church. So we have a responsibility to teach the principles of the Bible. Principles that change lives. And if we were living out a truly biblical model, the whole community would give generously, directly to the work of the church. Those who had more would give more, so that those who had less could give as they are able. But everyone would do their part. And if that happened, then the floodgates of heaven would be open, and the spiritual and material blessings of God would flow like a mighty river. To the church, and overflowing to the entire community. That's the way that God designed it. That's the way it's meant to be. That's what we pray for, isn't it? We pray to see more salvations. Our friends, our family members, our co-workers, we pray to see them saved. We pray for more spiritual blessings. We pray to experience God moving more in our midst. And it all starts right here in God's house. With learning how to honor God in the way that we've gifted him. Tithing is about ministry. Tithing is about honoring God. Tithing is about releasing a blessing. Remember, tithing is not about an obligation, but an expression of love. As the worship team comes, leading us in our closing song, I pray that we would find this experience to know what it is that you have these principles of tithing. Let's pray together. Loving God.